notwithstanding your Bethlehem. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. May God add his word to his blessing. A pregnant woman referred to Dr. Loomis came to him who had a history of complications with her pregnancies. And sure enough, this pregnancy was not going to be easy. He worked with her and brought the baby to full term. First time she had been able to do this. All the others had miscarried. But when the baby was born, it came breech. As you know, in a breech birth, the legs come first. He waited for the legs to pop free. One came sooner than expected. Only it wasn't a leg. It was the stump of a leg. And where a knee should have been, there was a foot. It was a curious deformity. And the doctor quickly covered it. Holding the bottom of that baby, he said, he entered into the conscience, the struggle of his career. He reasoned, a woman with a history of complications as this woman has had, and given the severity of this deformity, there are probably other deformities. The best thing I can do, he thought, is throttle the exit of this child from the womb. Stop it in the birth control canal. It would be hard for her. She will be told that she gave birth to a stillborn. She will go through a depression, but she'll get over it. If I don't do this, she could be saddled with a crippled, severely deformed child for the rest of life. It would be a burden too great for her to bear. He made up his mind that was exactly what he was going to do. He held up the body of this child, throttling the exit from the womb. Then a strange thing happened underneath that towel that he held that stump of a leg with. If Jesus had not come, what would this world be like? Think about it. The number of hospitals, orphanages, feeding stations, colleges, and universities started in the name of Jesus Christ. This very nation was claimed by God. God had purposes for this nation. Think of all that has come out of this nation in the name of Jesus Christ. From here, the Bible has been translated into many languages. Whole continents have become civilized. Our very form of government comes out of the Bible. All of this has been done in one man's name, and his name is Jesus Christ. That was the first incarnation. But Jesus comes again through the person of the Holy Spirit, not just simply to be with us, but to be in us. God is still wanting to change the world because Jesus Christ lives and works in our lives. So what difference could you make if you were totally yielded and surrendered to God? This is the radical message of Christmas. This world is rapidly losing the value of life. But life is not over when the world says it's over. It's just beginning. Death is a portal in which we step into the presence of God. But even now we can taste the opportunities of God's unlimited grace and what he can do through us. if we yield ourselves to him. Now, Nazareth was a small, out-of-the-way little town. The angel says to Mary, "Hail," or "Rejoice." The word in the Greek means to cheer up. Cheer up, Mary. Rejoice. Highly favored. It means greatly graced. The angel is saying, Mary, great grace is coming your way. The Lord is with you. Rejoice because great grace is coming to you. He said, blessed are you among women. There is a blessing that is picked out for you that nobody else is going to receive. This is the word of the Lord to you this morning. I want you to cheer up, rejoice, because you are highly favored. You are greatly graced. God's grace is coming your way. The Lord is with you, and you are blessed because God has picked out blessings for you that nobody else is going to receive. And then the angel points out what's going to happen. This is powerful stuff. All these prophecies about Jesus and his kingdom. But let me tell you what Mary heard. She heard, "How can this be since I know not a man?" See, the angel said all of this stuff, these great prophecies about her, but she only heard the first word. She was stuck back on that. How can this be? I have not known a man. How can I be pregnant? Did you say pregnant? Are you sure you have the right address? Are you sure you have come to the right place? Are you sure you have come to the right person? Out of all that wonderful stuff, what she hears is that utter impossibility that I'm going to have a baby. I want to talk with you today about the bitter of being chosen by God, of being greatly graced, about being highly favored. Because sometimes when God comes and he gives us that promise and pronounces that blessing, sometimes everything begins to fall apart. I mean, how does Mary tell her dad? "Dad, I'm pregnant. Joe? No, it's not Joe. Then who?" "Well, I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost." You see, God's ways are not our ways. And he moves in our lives, and we say, "God, have your way. I want you to have your way with my life. May your will be done." And then he takes us seriously. And he starts messing with our lives, and we begin to question, "God, what are you doing?" Taste the bitter of being chosen, of being blessed by God. Joseph didn't understand either. The angel had to come to him in a dream and reveal God's message to him. Did you know that Mary didn't have to go to Bethlehem? Joseph had to go, but not Mary. The fact that Mary had to go indicates that her support system was completely gone. The penalty for being pregnant outside of marriage in Jewish law was stoning. There are some times when God will not protect your vulnerability like you think he should. People who you thought were your friends become your enemies, and you can't explain to them what God is doing because what he is doing, you don't even understand yourself. Mary was pondering these things. You ponder these things, and you try to figure them out yourself. We're taking a long trip on the back of a donkey in the third trimester of pregnancy. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It was at least 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. We would think that if it's the will of God, you know, the roses in the backyard will not have thorns. But this is simply not true. It is the will of God, and sometimes the water is bitter. When they get to Bethlehem, every motel is booked. There is no welcome sign that says, "Mary and Joseph, we welcome you to Bethlehem." Mary doesn't get her Bible and look at Micah's prophecy and say, "Joseph, we have to get to Bethlehem or we're going to mess up the prophecy. It says the Messiah is going to be born there." No, they are backing into the will of God. And most of the times in my life, I have backed into the will of God. And most of the time, that is what you will do. When God moves in your life, you don't always understand what's going on. And sometimes when you are in that lonely stable giving birth and having pain, you wonder what is going on. You see, the shepherds saw the angels. They heard the music. But there's no record of that in the stable. Sometimes people come and they've had their angel sightings and all kinds of experiences. And here you are, sitting in a little stable. And I tell you that you are right in the will of God, and you are giving birth to the purposes God has for your life. You are so close to it, though, you just can't see it. Only the distance will reveal that God was in your Bethlehem moment when you felt stuck and abandoned and confused. It gets worse. They start killing the babies. If the truth had been known, Mary would have been the most hated woman in Bethlehem. And then the angel comes and warns them that they have to flee to Egypt. They can't even go back to Nazareth. They can't even go back home. They have to flee into Egypt. And when they finally do go back to Nazareth, at some point, Joseph dies. Then Mary stands under the shadow of the cross. What is she supposed to do with that prophecy from the angel? Listen, if you get a word from God, you can sometimes hold that word so tightly that you squeeze the life out of it. Sometimes you can get a promise from God, and without even realizing it, you lay your own interpretation on it. You begin to go not on the word, but on the interpretation of that word. You get messed up, and you get confused. We would have told Mary, "Mary, you didn't hear right. That wasn't a true prophecy about you." It wasn't until Mary was among the 120 in the upper room, and Peter stood up and began to explain that the coming of the Holy Spirit was the proof that Jesus is alive and on the throne of David. Not on the earth, but in heaven itself, and he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith to himself, "The Lord saith unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ." All of a sudden it made sense. All of a sudden it began to come together for Mary. And if you are going to be used by God in any significant way, you are going to come into the favor of God, the grace of God, walk in the presence of God, and give birth to the purposes of God, you will have to learn to endure your Bethlehems. You will have to make it through the points at which you are stuck. When it seems to be happening every place around you and nothing seems to be happening with you and you are wondering, "Did I miss God? God, where are you in all of this? What is going on with the promises that you gave me?" It is at those times especially that you have to endure. You have to make it through your Bethlehems. You cannot get stuck there. Someone once said, "Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush is afire. Only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries and dab their faces unaware." Earth is crammed with heaven. God is everywhere, but not everyone sees. Some just see bushes with blackberries, and others see the glory of God. The thing that will help you survive, get through your Bethlehems, is being able to see beyond the natural into the realm of the Spirit. This is something that all of us struggle with. But when you are born again, a set of eyes inside of you opens up to see a world that is on top of this world. It's a world where there are angels. It's a world where there are demons. It's a world where the Spirit of God blows. It's also a world where an evil crosswind blows as well. You see things in the spiritual dimension. You begin to focus not on just things that are temporary, but on the eternal. If we could have seen in the Spirit, there were angels in that stable. The stable was alive with the shining glory of God. You could have seen the Father standing at the balcony of heaven, smiling at the birth of his Son. If you could have heard in the Spirit, you would have heard angels singing and the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." While smelling in the natural, well, you know what a barn smells like. But frankincense is on the way. If you had touched the things in the natural, you would have felt the rough hay. You would have felt the rough wood of the manger. But in the spiritual, you could have touched the flesh of God incarnate. You cannot go by what you see in the natural unless you develop eyes to see what God is doing. If you don't develop spiritual eyes, Bethlehem's will crush you. You will never give birth to God's purposes. In the natural, he looks like any other baby, but he is not. He is the Son of God. In the natural, he looks mortal, but he is not. He is immortal. In the natural, you hear a voice that will coo, but that is the voice that will still the waters and calm the wind. It's the voice that will say to a dead Lazarus, "Come forth." In the natural, he will grow up to be a carpenter, but in the spiritual, he will build a church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You have to get beyond the natural when you are stuck in your Bethlehem. Do you think Mary said to Joseph, "You know, Joseph, shepherds are coming. They're on their way. They will soon be here. Why don't you make some hot chocolate and let's start a Christmas tradition?" Do you think Joseph said to Mary, "Mary, I know it's tough, but just think about it, Mary. Someday we're going to be famous. The whole world is going to come to this place. Everybody around the world will know about us. They will make little figurines of us and little manger scenes. And they will make nativity sets. And they will put them in their houses. And they will put them on their yards. And churches will have living nativities of us. Mary, they will make movies of us. Mary, we are going to be famous." They had no clue. And you have no idea of what God is doing in your life. You have no idea when the Spirit broods what purposes will come out of your life. You have no idea the things he wants to birth out of you. And it doesn't matter how old you are. Sometimes we live life for the moment of in our older age, we finally give birth to the purpose God has planned for us. God has called you to give birth. Look at Abraham and Sarah. There are moments that come to define us. There are destinies. Consider Livingston crossing Africa with the gospel. In 1900, it was still only 3% Christian. Now it is 50% Christian south of the Sahara. This man left a legacy. Crossing Africa with the gospel, giving birth to Christianity in Africa. He changed the Christian world in terms of missions. Betsy Boone, just before she died, she said to her sister, "You must tell them there is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still." Luther was hiding in a small room. This is the place where he supposedly threw ink at the wall at the devil. He said he was writing his life away, and those writings, which he thought were the end of his life, was the beginning of a new life for the church, coming out of the Dark Ages and into the Reformation. He had no idea what he was doing or starting. He was just doing what he knew to be right. That's what we have to do. That's what any of us can do. We just do what we know to be right. And out of those experiences, God will birth our Bethlehems. One-eyed black man by the name of Seymour, who wasn't even admitted to Bible classes because of his color, refused to be bitter and sat outside the door of the classrooms listening, sat outside the open windows listening. God favored him. He wound up on Azusa Street in California in a stable. Came back around to a stable. The smell was strong, but simple people came together. What was happening? It was a visitation from God on Azusa Street that spread around the world. It was the real last move of God we have had in our country. It started with a one-eyed black man who had a hunger for God. Everyone else had written him off, but God looked down and said, "You are greatly graced. You are favored. I choose you." Now, it's real important that we realize that we can mess up our destiny. Abraham almost did by getting into the tent that day with Hagar. The hot spot of the world is the fight that continues between Sarah and Hagar, Ishmael and Isaac, Muslims and Jews. God gives us extraordinary dreams, promises. We need to agree with God that nothing is impossible. But what we do is we take God-sized visions and we trim them down to man-sized doable things. But whenever you take God's visions down to something you can do, you make a terrible mistake. Abraham substituted God's dream for his own. If you pull back or just try to help God out, rather than just letting him do his work, you will miss out on his great purposes. When Joseph left his coat and fled from the temptation of Potiphar's wife, he saved his ministry and his people. Certain moments define you. You have to protect your character. You have to protect your integrity. You have to protect your vessel if God is going to fill it and fulfill his purposes for you. You have to protect yourself during moments of testing and temptations if you are going to reach that point to giving birth to what God is going to do with your life. Bach. What a talent. Mino used to sign his compositions two ways. If he fussed over it and it was just right, he would sign it one way. Or if he thought they were too wonderful for him to improve on anymore, he would sign it another way. The good ones that he couldn't improve on, he would sign SDG, Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. The other one he signed JJ, signifying Jesus help. Some of his JJs, the experts tell us, are actually better than the SDGs. Point is, you can't grade yourself. You can't always know when God is using you. Some of the sermons that I have preached that I thought were real flops, nowhere near the best sermons, were the ones that people have come up to me afterwards and said, "Thank you for that message, Pastor. God really blessed it. It really ministered to me. It was a great help to me." Some of my other sermons that I thought were really good, nobody ever said a word about. We cannot grade ourselves. We don't know what God is doing with our lives. Mrs. Chen is famous in China. She was only 19 when they arrested her and told her if she would stop her association with Christians, she would be let go. But if she didn't, she would wind up in prison. They told her she was just too beautiful to waste her life with Christianity. But she said she could not deny him. So they beat her, took her to a dungeon, and threw her in. She said that when she heard the door close behind her, the putrid smell of the place was so overwhelming that immediately her nose burned and her eyes watered. She froze until her eyes could adjust to see the conditions of the place. She said that it even looked worse than it smelled. Everything was filth. It was filled with rats. She knelt in the corner on her own feet. She felt something on her arm. It was her own blood. She began to argue with God. All that night, all through the night, she catnapped and argued with God. She catnapped and argued. She catnapped and argued. As morning broke, she said God spoke to her so clearly, saying, "I want you to know that I did this." She said, "Why would you put me here?" God said, "I put you here to serve me here." She had a flash. She had a thought. She went to the door, asking for a bucket of water and a brush, saying she would clean every cell. When she would go into a cell, she would see shells of people. She said, "I would pray and sing until the light broke into the darkness and until hope broke into that depressing place, until darkness left the faces and light came back into their eyes." I tell you that story to tell you this. God can triumph in the worst of places. When you are stuck in a Bethlehem, that is often the time that God is wanting to do his most glorious thing. It is never easy giving birth, but it's after the birth, the joy that comes, that we forget about the pain of the birth process itself. James Calvert was begged not to go to the Fiji Islands because they told him that he would not come back alive. Before entering the Fiji Islands, he said, "We died before we left." It's dead people who are radically committed to their Bethlehems that God is wanting to give birth to his purposes. Would you be willing to die to yourself so that God could give birth to his purposes for your life? Dr. Loomis was going to stop the birth of this deformed baby. He made up his mind. That was exactly what he was going to do. Dr. Loomis held up the body of this child, throttling the exit from the womb. But then a strange thing happened underneath that towel that he held that stump of a leg with. It was as if the child knew what he was trying to do. Pow! Right in the palm of his hand, that little heel. It was as if the child was saying, "Don't do this. Let me out of here. You don't have the right to do this. I'm stronger than you think I am. This is not your decision, doctor. Who do you think you are, doctor? What are you doing, doctor?" He said, "It shocked me into reality. I dropped the body of the child and out popped the head. I lifted up the towel and pointed out the deformity to the nurse. We cut the cord and they whisked the baby away. We let the mother revel in the fact that for the first time she had given birth. We would let her face the deformity later." He said, "Over time, I lost track of her. I knew there would be all kinds of operations and attempts to correct this and an attempt to fit the prosthesis." 20 years later, Dr. Loomis stepped into the hospital where he practiced. The room was made up like a makeshift chapel. It was the only thing the hospital did all year that was anything remotely religious. On the stage were three musicians. One beautiful young girl, masterfully bringing rich, deep tones out of a cello. He was moved. Then the nurses filled in with their caps and gowns and candles. And almost as soon as the service began, it was over him. Over. In front of him was a little grain woman. With utter excitement, she said to him, "Doctor, did you see her? Did you see her, doctor? Did you see the little girl that I brought into the world with your help? Did you see her?" He said that after a moment, it all came back to him. Standing beside a little gray and wrinkled woman was the beautiful girl that had been playing that cello. Absolutely gorgeous. She was the girl that he had almost stopped from being born. You see, doctor, she couldn't run and play like the rest of the kids, but then we learned that she was so good with her hands and gifted in music. She is going to the university on a scholarship, doctor. She is going to be a professional musician. Oh, I'm so proud of her, doctor. He looked at that girl, asked her to play something for him. She turned and picked up her instrument and began to play the music to the old hymn. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." He said, "The tears were trickling down my face and dripping off my chin, because only God and I knew how close I had come to snuffing out this life." The power of the message of Christmas is not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. The real question is, what can God do with one person, one life, totally and completely yielded to him? What can God do with your life? What are the purposes that God wants to birth in your life? Maybe you're going through a difficult time right now. This could be your Bethlehem experience. You need to get through this time. You can't get stuck here. You have to make it through this Bethlehem. You are highly favored. You are a person of great grace. God has a blessing that is picked out only for you. And so, cheer up. Cheer up. Pastor, it's hard now. I know it's hard now. It was hard for Jesus to go to the cross. But the Bible says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He looked beyond the time of giving birth to the church, to a time when the church would be born and living and worshiping and serving Him. You need to do the same thing this morning. Look beyond your Bethlehem to further down the road. Look to the other side of Bethlehem. Don't just look at the things that your eyes can see. Don't just look at the things of this natural physical world. Don't look at the things that are only temporary, but begin to focus on the eternal. And say, God, would you open up the new eyes that you have given me? The eyes where I can see into the spiritual realm. The eyes that would help me see the value of eternity. So I wonder, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, would you say to God right now, Lord, thank you for the purposes and plans that you have for me. Give me the grace to get through my Bethlehems. Help me not to get stuck there. Help me to see. Give me the grace to see beyond this physical world into the other dimension, the dimension of the Spirit. Lord, I want to give birth to your purposes. If this is you, would you just raise your hand up and then down? Amen. Father, we thank you that you have chosen us, that you have graced us, and that you have blessed us. Thank you, Lord, that we are among the highly favored. And yet we realize the bitterness of being chosen by you. We realize the difficulty and the pain of giving birth. But Lord, we know that once we give birth, the suffering and the pain will all be worth it. Give us grace to endure. Give us grace to overcome our Bethlehems. Lord, and bring your purposes to pass in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.